Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 504, Supernova.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
And here we are at the end of Season 1 of Prodigy.
Yeah, we did it.
We
made it through the 3 to 4 arcs that this show had.
Two arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I think we have two more coming. I was just thinking, like, I thought we weren't done with this until next April or something, but then there's only 10 weeks. I don't know. I'm very confused.
Yeah, we're done with this in, like, I don't know.
Let me pull up our document.
November?
Something like that. I usually...
August?
Oh, sorry. End of November. All right.
End of November.
I was wrong about that. Because what I do when I talk to Vishal about... This is very boring. But when I talk to Vishal about our supplemental covers, I say, okay, next one is in this time. And I could swear I told him it was sometime next year, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm. In July.
Mm-hmm. No. End of November. Like, beginning of December, we're starting Strange New Worlds, and then... That's the last series, unless and until Academy shows up. So
I mean, Academy, and even then, like, we're going to be on a weird timeline or whatever for that one.
Yeah, we got some shit to figure out, but we'll have at least 3 full seasons by the time we start of Strange New Worlds, and then maybe the 4th one will show up while we're doing
that would be nice.
We'll see. I don't know. But anyway,
would you listen to us if our voices get higher?
Let's just do a helium show.
Mm-hmm.
Ho ho.
No, I guess like Paramount's being bought or buying something, or I don't know. I can't keep track of this crap anymore.
What I saw this week is that because Warner has fucked everything up so terribly just in the last few years, that a couple of big companies are contemplating buying them, and Paramount is one of them.
Wow.
Netflix is another one.
That's nuts. From what I remember, Paramount was like trying to get sold to somebody or whatever.
I didn't know Paramount was I thought Warner was much bigger than the other.
Mm.
But no, apparently not. I
thought Warner was like one of the big one, like one of the top three or something.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
But they've horribly famously mismanaged everything the last few years. They're the ones throwing entire movies away. Other streaming services are doing shitty things, but Warner's doing the real bad shit. So
all those movies appear to be emerging except Batgirl. I will never be able to just watch this fucking Batgirl movie.
It'll show up someday. Someone will be like, shit, we can make a dollar on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Everything's terrible.
And for now, we got this show that got canceled on one thing and picked up on another thing.
Uh-huh.
So there's that. So
yep.
let's wrap up season one. It's a two-parter, so we'll review this as we often do in tandem. Here we go. The kids are staring directly down a swarm of vessels that Maggie might once have described as ship porn, but with the evolution of affordable CG and social permissiveness, now barely qualifies as ship PG-13. They scramble to get the proto drive back online, hoping they can proto warp the proto fuck out of here before that dumb red thing does its dumb red business. Over on the Dauntless, Vice Admiral Janeway is still stuck in the brig, unable to warn her crew about the impending danger. But fortunately, the ensign guarding her cell once encountered Voyager in some episode I have long forgotten because it probably wasn't very good. In fact, I went back and checked our notes on said episode, Season 5, Episode 10, Counterpoint, and what I said was, I don't remember being this bored since I was in school. Nevertheless, this ensign remembers things differently, specifically that Janeway helps her and lets her out. If you're thinking this is exactly how Janeway got out of her medically induced confinement one episode ago, shut up. We got a ship to save, and this is the season finale. Except that the kids don't manage to re-engage the protodrive, and Janeway makes it to the bridge just after the red thing starts spreading its deadly red junk across the entire fleet. You should have checked the full title, Kate. This is the season finale, but it's only part one of the season finale. You got to endure several more beats of drama before we wrap all this up. So the Diviner and Essentia make their way over to the Protostar for some sword fighting. And then the inevitable moment happens when one character is like, you cut me! How dare you! Like, It's a sword fight? You're fighting with big knives. Fuck did you expect? Then the tables turn and Essentia abandons ship like so much General Grievous, and the Diviner dies, and I guess we're supposed to feel sad about that? But I don't, and I suspect Maggie doesn't.
Yep.
And the Universal Translator breaks again. But then Gwyn remembers that she can speak every language, and one of the others, probably Zero, realizes that the stupid red MacGuffin is only wrecking Federation ships, so Gwyn puts the call out for non-Federation help. So some Klingons and some other assorted allies show up to assist in the fight. Things are going well at first, until someone, probably Zero, realizes that all the Starfleet ships are calling for help from more Starfleet ships, and basically they're just going to keep coming until they're all destroyed. I guess the Federation hasn't developed check to see what we're warping into before we warp into their technology yet. Obviously someone, probably Zero, is going to have to cook up a better plan to get them out of this mess.
So the crew watches in horror as the Starfleet Armada starts trying to destroy itself, blowing up a ton of ships and also probably killing a ton of people. The option of blowing the ship up to stop the red thing is floated, which is unfortunately an issue because if you blow up the protostar, it becomes a supernova part two, which feels like poor planning on Starfleet's part. Hey, this ship goes supernova if we blow it up. Well, definitely don't do that. You'll be in a lot of trouble if that happens. No. Rock Talk makes a plan to explode the ship as it warps, which should dissipate the damage so that everywhere in the universe is only exploded a little bit. Unfortunately, again, this is proving to be an extremely annoying ship to blow up. Someone has to be driving the ship to do that. Dal volunteers, surprising everyone, including me, considering he started the series demanding to be captain so that he could get the big bed. But Hologram... Jesus Christ, I am tired. Hologram Janeway suggests that maybe the lifeless hologram should do it instead. You can't die, says Rock Talk. This is a children's show. That's true, replies Hologram Janeway. But also, I'm a computer, beep boop, and I can just put my personality on this 3-inch floppy disk. All of that being settled, the crew escapes in a shuttle, and the protostar warps away and explodes. A lot. Everywhere. All the time. At this point, the crew boots up Janeway.exe and discovers that, you can't fit an entire advanced character onto the demo disk that used to come with my copy of PC Gamer every month, and no. Hologram Janeway is now dead. Hologram Janeway. She's drinking hologram coffee in hologram heaven, where the H on your forehead stands for Halo. A month later, we cut to Starfleet Command, where Admiral Janeway is searching for what she thinks is probably the bodies of those children that saved the universe when their shuttle crashes in the backyard. After the typical Federation tribunal to prove that they didn't do anything wrong, see previous trial ends v. means, Flesh Janeway welcomes them, well, not into Starfleet, but she does invite them on the Rescue Chakotay mission. No thank you, says Gwyn. I have to go save my people or something. Bye! Which is very sensible. The rest of the kids go off with Flesh Janeway, only Janeway now, and the story continues. On a different streaming service, I guess.
Yeah, so we've mentioned this a lot, but this was carried on Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon is even in the opening credits of this, a Nickelodeon show.
Nickelodeon the turtle stuff does that now too.
Yeah, and they gave it one season, and they're actually, never mind. Which is insane.
I'm Hologram Janeway, and this is Nickelodeon. Oh no, I got slimed.
I don't know. But
Neelix shows up to go, what do you think's in the sandwich? What do you think's in the burgers?
It's hair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why they canceled it. It's good.
It's so good. Shows have been canceled for less than that, honestly. It's just we don't want this, actually.
But then, you know, Netflix, as you mentioned, Netflix picked it up. So, we do get 20 more episodes, which is good. But also, it didn't get picked up after that. So
no.
You know.
So now it's over.
I think, who knows? They thought this was over. But I did do a little research when we were figuring out the series order. And I'm like I've been saying, I like to do complete series, first, so we don't have to jump around. And I don't want to get out my seat and jump around anymore. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And
I'm so tired. I can't jump. What are you talking about?
Yep. I mean, so help me, Crisscross will make you jump. But, you know,
I'll
on your own.
Grab their backwards pants.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I read a bunch of stuff, and the showrunners basically said, yeah, we're done. Like, we're all of the people involved in the show have now gone on to other things. So if we did it again, we'd have to do it with a different crew. And it's a lot harder. So we're effectively done. And that's sad because it's a good show. I'm enjoying
the show's
this.
Good.
Yeah. This is probably the most consistent show we've covered since Star Trek came back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, it's never a 10, but it's always like a 7.
Oh, yeah. Just like, and you know what? Sometimes consistently 7 is good enough, you know?
Yes. I'm just saying Disco had some really good highs, but a lot of lows.
Mm-hmm. And those lows were low.
Yeah. Same with Picard.
Yep.
Haven't we covered another one since it came back? I thought we had. Maybe
Disco,
not.
Picard. What are we forgetting?
There's Lower Decks.
Yeah, Lower Decks. That piece of shit.
Which, okay, putting aside that it's not for us. Like, we were not the target audience for that show. We were, but they missed
the target. We were absolutely the target audience for that show. That's why we didn't like it.
But they kept missing the target.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it wasn't a consistent show because occasionally they do these stellar, like, oh, we take Star Trek a bit seriously, but we're also kind of funny. And then they just do the really stupid phoned-in things. So, you know, like, not consistent, I would say.
Yeah.
But this show, like, pretty much, like I say, just solidly, slightly above average the whole time.
I mean, this is the thing. Like, this is the one in a while where I've, like, I get to watch Prodigy today, not, oh, God, I have to watch Prodigy today.
And Amanda, who I believe will be joining us next week for the season 2 premiere, because I was trying to figure out what would be. She hasn't been following along very closely.
Sure.
Like, that would be a good one because the status quo changes a bit and she doesn't need a ton of backstory. She can just jump in.
Yeah.
She's not a huge fan of the show. Like, I don't want to spoil the stuff she's going to talk about. But like, she I think she thinks it's too kiddie. She doesn't like the look of it. That's fine. Whatever.
Sure.
But she was still like, there were a bunch of times where she's like, that's actually pretty good. That's like she didn't want to like it. She kind of had her arms folded like, this is dumb. I don't like this. And I caught her smiling a couple times. Mm-hmm. So
because you like this show.
Yeah. And she straight up admitted this show understands what Star Trek is better than a lot of stuff does these days.
Oh,
which is nice.
Yeah.
And this was a proper, like, the stakes were high, but they were also personal. Like, we cared about what happened to the individual characters as well as what was going to happen to the Federation. Like, it was a good mix of things.
I was thinking about this while we were watching the episode, and the way the construct works is such a cool way to really be an actual real threat to the Federation. The bit where Hologram Janeway is like, oh, fuck, we're just going to keep calling ships and they're just going to keep coming until someone realizes something's going on.
Yeah, and that's something I can't remember having seen in Star Trek, but it makes perfect sense that if your ship is in a losing firefight, it automatically sends a distress call for any nearby ships, which makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, they're just going to keep doing it. And and like I said in my summary, it does seem a little like, maybe you should have thought this through. Maybe you should look before you go.
I mean, I was thinking about this, too. I'm like, someone would probably catch this, but it would still be quick enough. And like, and every time you try to contact somebody to be like, hey, don't send any more ships, you've infected another ship.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about the bit in the first Abrams movie where Vulcan has been wrecked. Well, Vulcan hasn't been wrecked yet, but all the Starfleet ships have. And they're like, the Enterprise is racing there. And Kirk, knowing that they're warping into a trap, is the only thing that stops them from warping straight into a bunch of wreckage because they don't look first.
A bunch of wreckage. And if I recall correctly, R2-D2.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking of that old MST short. Why don't they look?
Why don't they look?
Mm-hmm.
Crash.
Let's get into your good thing.
Yeah. So, I cannot believe that this children's show for babies actually made me cry about the death of a not real character who is a copy of a real character, but goddamn, that was a good fucking scene.
I will say, between writing and Kate Mulgrew really bringing it, they have very much established that Vice Admiral Janeway and Hologram Janeway are two different people. And
oh, listen, I'm being a little facetious in this, but...
No, 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 no. I know. I'm just saying, I'm backing you up. What I'm saying is, like, the fact that the show has gone out of its way to establish this as an individual character, like, and the fact that the performer has sold that to us, so that those two were talking directly to one another a couple episodes ago, and we bought it. Like,
yeah, great scene.
This is these different people. And so, yeah, losing her is not just losing, you know, oh, well, that's just a Xerox of this lady we're still with. No, she's like, this is the character that has bonded with these kids. Admiral Janeway barely knows them yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is their mom.
No, I love the whole bit where they're like, well, we can't kill you either. And she's like, don't worry.
Yeah. And then she knows, like, I had to trip you
disk.
Because
yeah.
you were, especially you, Jenkum, you were just going to argue, and we did not have time for that.
No, we're not doing this right now. Here.
Mm-hmm. And then the tiny little hologram message pops up, and she's just like, of course you couldn't copy me. Come on, guys.
Mm-hmm. Why is she so small?
Mm-hmm.
Right about now, Jenkum Pug is probably asking why I'm so small.
Yeah, I always love that. I just wrote that gag in a thing we made like a week ago. I'm always a fan of the recording, knowing what you're about to say. That goes, for me, at least back to like Tex Avery cartoons. It's very fun. But
this
yes, losing
recording,
her.
Or are you talking to me? Right about now, you're probably wondering if this is a recording or I'm actually talking to you. No, it's a recording.
I'm just very good at anticipating you.
Mm-hmm. You guys have very distinct personalities. It's not hard to figure out what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Also, Murph, stop being gross.
You nasty little freak.
Mm-hmm. Derogatory.
Uh-huh. But like,
yeah, that was a genuinely emotional scene. I agree. Mm-hmm.
The whole bit where like it activates, and so I forget who, but someone's like, wait, what's happening here? Like, they're like, there's actual, like, this is an actual death that actually feels like it has actual stakes, you know?
Well, yeah, again, these kids really bonded with this woman. This was their introduction to the Federation. This representation of a woman, not a woman, like, is the one who convinced them to do what they're doing. Like, all of them have devoted their lives to this thing because of her.
Yes.
She's the one who taught them why Starfleet's good and how to act and how to be part of a crew. Like now that they're kind of in Starfleet, all the shit they know came from her. Like it's rough losing her, you know? Narratively, it makes sense. You don't want to drag a Janeway along on a Janeway mission. Like you've already got one of those.
I'm very excited for the next season to see the differences between the two characters and them reacting to those differences.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like you as much as Hologram Janeway. We miss her.
Computer hologram off. Yeah, I'm the Admiral. Shit.
God, it's so hard to shut her up now.
Mm-hmm. But also, I like I say, the writing has already sort of established that. Like, this one, I don't know if she remembers better or what, but, like, she brings up previous missions more, like in a way that feels very organic and not like a hey, remember this, just in a wait a minute, I've been through this kind of dumb bullshit before.
Don't worry, I've done so much weird crap in my life.
And half of it got like undone by other weird crap, but I somehow still remember it.
You guys want to hear about Goo Harry Kim?
If my hair changes, you're in the past. Okay.
Yep.
Lesson one,
keep an eye open for that.
Now, they didn't say at the end of the episode, but these kids were assigned to the Voyager A.
Oh.
Which I guess we'll find out at the beginning of season two. So slight spoilers, I guess, but that's not really.
That's interesting. All right.
Yeah. They just, like, because at the very end, they're looking at a new protostar that's just been commissioned. And they're like, ooh, is that our ship? And they're like, no, come with me. And
no, we won't be letting you guys on the good protostar. You already blew up the last one.
Which kind of takes you to
get you into a nice established Voyager.
But the blowing up the ship kind of takes me to my good thing, which I thought the plan to blow it up while it's at warp, so you have, instead of one supernova in one concentrated location, you have that energy dispersed over a long, like, that was such a Star Trek idea that I'd never seen, and it's great. I really enjoyed that, and
it's a really cool idea.
And apparently at the end, what happened was it opened a wormhole, which we'll lead into some season two stuff, which
yes.
that I don't, I'm not going to say it makes sense science wise because I don't know, but it makes sense. Fake made up science wise. Like,
yeah,
you're fucking with like stars and stuff. Of course, like collapsing a star means a black hole. That means a wormhole, right?
I mean, that's honestly, like, think about that. You took a black hole and you stretched it out. Like, I get it now, honestly.
Yeah, but again, if anyone knows the real science, don't write in to say it's wrong, because of course it is. I know that. But this is, it seems to be playing by Star Trek rules, so that's fine with me. Let's see. What was your bad thing?
I mean, Murph cannot join Starfleet. Murph is not a person. Murph is, at best, a mascot character.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like he's the mascot of these kids. I mean like he's the fucking, like, what do you call it? The Philly Fanatic dancing in and out of the room.
Oh, you mean Gritty?
Yeah, Gritty.
He wishes he was Gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Gritty's cool.
I'm going to call him Smoothie.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
I look, you don't have to convince me. Like, sometimes we're not on the same side, but I think we're completely on the same side with Murph, which is... Stop.
He's the dancing Homer of this team.
No, he's the Poochie of this team.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's going to come out and do the baby elephant walk and just... Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
At least he can't go wiggity-wiggity.
He probably can. They're probably saving that for some reveal. Like, let's be clear, we like this show, and there were a lot of great Star Trek moments and a lot of touching character moments and cool space battle things, but also there was still a lot of hold on to your butts.
Yeah. Well,
like, and this show is... Oh, go ahead.
There's a whole scene in this episode where, like, I think it's Dal who's about to get killed by evil robot, and then Murph just shows up to beat his ass again. I'm like, I am so sick of this weird little guy coming in to be like, oh, actually, you're not in trouble anymore.
Yeah, he's the Deus Ex Murphina. Don't laugh at that. Don't reward this behavior.
That one I'm mad I didn't get to first.
Also, I had forgotten about the killer robot, which I shouldn't have, because he was a transformer that turns into a coffee table.
Yep.
But that's the way. But that basically kept half the crew busy while the boring sword fight was happening. And did we really do, seriously, sword fights still?
Kids like sword fights.
I guess so.
Kids like sword fights and when transformers are attacked.
Because I, you know, obviously I'm Gen X, grew up on Star Wars, and like, I should love sword fights, but I just endure them because they're always shown to me. It's not a thing I love. It's a thing that is just always happening.
I mean, listen, your disdain for sword fights is one of the unique things you bring to this to this show.
I don't understand why I'm on a limb. Like, I'm out on my own with this. Like, it's a space show. And let's hit each other with sharp hunks of metal. Like, yeah, that's not space.
Swords,
ray
baby.
Guns, robots, and ray guns, man. Come on.
Okay, but what if a sword was there?
I will say this episode, well, this two-parter, I had a hard time just like dividing. Like,
yeah, these episode.
Yeah. What are the drunken time travel used to call it? Epistory.
Epistory. There you go.
Yeah. Gwyn was the most useful that she's ever been.
Oh, yeah.
Between, like, I'm not into the sword fight, but they did need a sword guy to stop the other sword guy.
Yep. And she's their best sword guy.
And also languages, which was a thing they established long ago. Mm-hmm. Like, that came up. So
like, I really like that bit. Like, first of all, the universal translator shutting down again is great.
Yep.
Like, and
as a sound guy, I love hearing what they sound like for real. Mm-hmm. Like, Rock sounding like a monster, and Jenkum just going, bah, 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 bah. You know, like, very good.
Jenkum's not speaking Tellarite, he's just being an asshole.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Jenkum would also like to talk in nonsense words.
And then, Gwen, like, is able to salvage that, and it's, like, genuinely useful. It's nice.
Does a whole speech about how Starfleet's great. I love that.
Yeah. And there's a great... So she puts out the signal, And the first one who gets it is a Klingon bird of prey captain. Mm. And like Gwyn says something along the lines of Starfleet ships have been incapacitated. And the captain, she just smiles. She's like, yep. Oh, are they?
Really?
But then Gwyn's argument works. And she's like, okay, I'll come help.
Yep.
But that was such a Klingon, like, interesting.
Mm-hmm. The
half the fleet is blown up, you say?
Ugh. Really?
Uh-huh.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Look who's got great technology they can't access anymore.
Mm-hmm.
All right, fine. I'll be. We'll honor our stupid treaties.
I guess honor is a thing we do.
Yeah, we love honor.
Mm-hmm.
You guys talking about honor in here?
No, Ambassador. We're good. my bad thing actually involves, well, I would say my bad thing for the season involves Gwyn in that she really hasn't been much of a character. Like,
no,
the reason I'm calling out her usefulness in this one is because it hasn't really been present for most of it. Like, most of her stuff has been, oh no, my evil dad. And like,
yeah.
I don't care about that. But, my bad thing specifically was there, she and, Dal are having this moment where like, well, you know what we have to do. And Dal goes in and kisses her.
Yeah.
Like, well, that wasn't it. And
no,
I liked that.
No, that was not the answer.
I liked that she's like, no, I was saying we need to print a shuttle and get out of here. Don't kiss. What are you doing?
Stop but it. Then, we're about to explode.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
But then the end of the episode, we had to come back to it and she kissed him back. And
yeah.
Like, she's into it. And I don't, like, come on. I liked the fact that she was not into it, and I don't like the fact that she's like, actually, on second thought, what I would love is to have a nice long French kiss with someone who I could just grab onto their rat tail while I'm doing that.
It does make him easy to drag around,
like a cartoon caveman.
Exactly.
I suppose so.
I'm not going into that room. This says different, idiot.
Ow.
If I yank on this hard enough, can I pull your brain out the back of your head?
My what?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Never mind. There. So we have also, Tilo is watching this with me too. And she said, wow, this one really has everything. Cause she's right. Like, it had all the space battles. It had the quiet character moments and had a courtroom scene, which one of my favorite Star Trek staples.
Oh yeah.
And it's Janeway arguing first that these kids should not be criminally prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
And second, that they should be allowed to join Starfleet. And her argument specifically in favor of Dal, like, okay, yeah, he's an augment, and we frown on those. Although, again, there is precedent. There's Julian Bashir.
There's precedent, and, like, it's not...
There's number one.
As we've said numerous times, it's not his fault. He didn't go, yeah, make me out of 18 guys or whatever.
But also, her argument is... Those 18 guys are all members of the Federation. What he is a walking embodiment of what we are. And like, oh, that's the shit right there.
Yeah, that's great.
That's such a quintessentially Star Trek thing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it coming. But when it happened, I was like, yes, that's perfect.
Yeah. I didn't put that together until she said it. I'm like, oh, fuck. Yeah, of course. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so they're not officially allowed to join, but what they are allowed to do is become warrant officers, which is sort of like, I'm going to get this wrong. It's a bit like consultants, but you do have a rank, but you're not exactly officially in, but they're like, it's basically a loophole is what it is in this particular case.
Basically, Janeway's going to like oversee their training personally and like take them on the new Voyager on the Chakotay looking for mission.
Which they don't actually say that. What they say is, she says, I've got a much better mission plan for you. We're going to look for some old man. Great.
Operation Missing mission. Plank.
Well, into the forest we go. If you're going to find wood, you got to go in the forest.
Jenkin Pog doesn't understand why Jenkin Pog's time is being wasted looking for this man.
It's complicated. No, it isn't.
If there's one thing Jenkin Pog knows about Jenkin Pog, it's that Jenkin Pog hates scabs.
Yeah. I believe it was between seasons one and two where he did his scab bullshit. Mm-hmm. He was doing cons when everybody was on strike.
Yep.
And it was very clear that, like, he must have looked around and said, no other Star Trek people here.
Rub hands together.
Just me, I guess.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Ugh.
Yeah. Anyway. Forgot where I was going with that.
Robert Beltram is bad.
Yeah, no, that was a sidetrack that I'm always happy to go on because he is. No, the fact that they let Dal in on a loophole anyway, but they would not let Gwyn join because technically, because of all the time bullshit, her people haven't met the Federation yet,
yeah.
So they can't join the Federation, so she's not in it yet. So, like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, if you're writing her out for next season, I can't say I feel bad about that.
Mm.
Weakest character, I would say.
I doubt they're writing her out, but, like, I'm sure all this crap is going to come back.
I'm certain she's going to show up again. Mm-hmm. What I mean is I don't think she's going to be part of the day-to-day crew.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I could be wrong. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Like, that little nugget about the Voyager and then one or two guest stars is all I know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know shit. We're going into some serious unknown here, which is great.
I know one character is coming. I am not looking forward to his appearance, but...
Yeah. But we'll get there when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess, just based on the way this kind of thing often works, is she won't be part of the regular day-to-day crew, and sometime around the middle, she'll show up again for some big dramatic thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else?
What else?
Oh, Jamila Jamil, when she turned, like, when Essencia just becomes full villain, like... For the longest time, I'm like, why did you cast her to do a passable but also kind of generic American accent? Like, she's just, yes, Admiral, whatever you say. Mm-hmm. And now suddenly she's like, we will destroy the Federation. Mm-hmm. And like, yep, perfect.
Yep, she's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking over as the main villain now because I guess we've redeemed the diviner, this guy who owned, like, a ton of slaves.
The guy who seriously just said... well, our people fought about whether Starfleet is good, so now we got to go back in time and destroy everyone. Like, what kind of stupid bullshit is that?
That's a bad plan, Diviner.
Let's just genocide because our people can't decide whether these people are good or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Genociding is a real, like, that's a real big gun to use on a real small problem.
Yep. Let's see what else.
Let's see here. What else?
Oh, they're still, like, I was talking about the hold on to your butts thing. They're also still trying to make go fast a thing.
Yeah.
Like, hologram Janeway is like, when they all leave the ship, she's like, with a tear in her eye, go fast. Like, no, stop that.
I appreciate the sentiment here, Hologram Janeway, but no.
Yeah. Oh, so there's the big, cool, pretty explosion, and they're just sort of drifting there in their ship. And that, to me, felt like that last bit of Wrath of Khan, where they detonate the Genesis device and they're out there. But it didn't keep saying, hey, Wrath of Khan, Wrath of Khan. It was just like, no, some big sacrifice happened. It's kind of pretty, but also devastating.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all taking a beat. That's all.
Fucking Mariner flies up in a 2D shuttle just to be all like, see, like Wrath of Khan, see?
Uh-huh. Which is how I refer to those events, which are classified and also not a movie.
Just like in that, just like in the thing that happened, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Mm-hmm. I do like that it took a month to find them. They didn't just swoop in and rescue them. But I also wonder, those kids were alone in a very cramped, very like no frills shuttle for a month.
Yep.
They, like, this episode did what a finale should do, which is it really showed how these kids gel as a crew now. Mm-hmm. Like, there was some great teamwork. There was some great, I do this bit. There was a line I really liked where Dal gave an order and Zero says, already doing it, read your mind, which was so, like, okay, literally, textually, canonically, Zero can read Dal's mind, but figuratively, it's such a good, no, we're a crew, and you're the brain and I'm the arm and I'm moving because you said to move. And it's such a good, like, so good.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
all of that must have been undone by a month cramped in a tiny shuttle with nothing to do.
With nothing to do.
Presumably there's replicators for food, but they made a point of saying, we don't have time for seats.
Yep.
We don't have time for, like, displays.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they couldn't play any games. They could, like, anything. It's terrible.
Rock Talk is large and uncomfortable to lean against.
And Jenkin Pog, incredibly flatulent.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just nonstop.
I thought there were six of you. We ate Murph.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
He tasted like Jell-O.
Mm-hmm. But, like, unflavored Jell-O?
Mm-hmm.
Not.
It's made from
moves,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we know. I'm just
trying
to pass.
Absolutely made of hooves.
Undoubtedly.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tellarite hooves?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terrible. I'm just picturing them trying to pass the time. Mm, Jenkin Pog spies with Jenkin Pog's little eye. what else?
Something black. Is it space?
Yes.
You're really good at this game.
So I haven't been pulling quotes for a while.
No,
because it's been a bit of an ordeal for me, but I have to for this one.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's a great quote.
I'm going to make an exception because during the trial, Janeway says the funny, like, it's so earnest and it's so, like we said, the spirit of Star Trek and, like, yes, this is the good stuff. But then she just hits us with this fucking, like, the best joke I've ever heard,
mm-hmm.
which is this.
And concerning the augment, whose name you've conveniently forgotten, his name is Dal RL. Is he genetically engineered? Yes. Was he enhanced in every way? Look at him. Of course not.
Jesus Christ, that was good.
Is he exemplary? No, of course not. Look at this mess. Good God.
I'm not going to try to convince you of that. Look, I'm a great lawyer when I need to be, but I'm only human, guys.
There is no indication of intelligent design anywhere here.
No
caring God would allow you to have a head dangle.
I think you could back off now. I think they got it. No. I'm on a roll here.
Hang on. I got like seven more pages of this.
Look, the judges are a Vulcan and a Tellarite. You got to make your case hard for those
mm-hmm.
two guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also want to bring up the bit where, like, before they found them and they're discussing them and... Mm-hmm. Some Vulcan guy's like, yeah, and they did like this and this and whatever. And Chain was like, you're gonna put some respect on those names if you're gonna be talking to me about them, buddy.
Yep.
Those dumb She's kids great. saved you and everybody you know.
I agree with her, and that was a mm-hmm. great thing for her to defend them. But on the other hand, they did first endanger and then save Starfleet. Is that
sure? Listen,
is that truly heroic?
Mm.
Look, I held a gun to your head and then I put it down.
A hero.
Yes, exactly.
I'm gonna hear some
Twitter.
Damn respect on in your voice when you say the name Rock Talk, buddy.
Very well. Do I have to say this one? Yes, you do.
Yep.
Jenkin Pog.
Jenkin Pog heard that you were talking about Jenkin Pog in here.
What else?
Let's see here.
I think that's about all I have.
I am going to end with this, which is I do not like Zero's new body.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. It's all white.
It's all white and clean and everything.
I feel like that's not going to last.
And they're like, oh, that's perfect. I'm like, no, I like the Clank body better. That was good.
Yeah, but if you're going to Starfleet it up, you got to give mm-hmm. them like the best and the smoothest and the, you know, like.
At the very least, spray paint a uniform on them. Like,
well, we don't know. Like, yeah. They might make a few changes between seasons. We'll see. But yeah,
they
next
look like
time
an old
we
iPad.
Do... mm-hmm.
iPod.
Yeah, it's true.
Me.
No, it's definitely that whole like Apple Store aesthetic mm-hmm. that like that the Abrams movies did a bit. But we'll see. Again, we'll see. I think between seasons, we're going to find they made a couple of changes. And that's just a guess. I don't know that.
But. I hope so, because Zero spends a lot of time around Dal and Jenkinpug, neither of whom were the cleanest people I've ever met.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So, yeah, next time we are doing the season premiere, and I believe Amanda will be joining us for that.
Cool.
It's a two-parter called Into the Breach.
Mm-hmm.
So look forward to that. The website is ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail. Like I mm-hmm. said, we're done with this at the end of November. So
yeah.
If you got stuff to say, write in and say it. Patreon. Patreon.com/Algar. We got all kinds of stuff happening now. I'm putting advanced episodes of Contentment Corner, which is back. I'm putting Nick and Willikin's exclusive stuff there. And of course, this show 13 weeks ahead. So
yeah,
check that out. And I think that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2025. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.